for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance Service, May the 23rd, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the sin of worshiping the beast.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne. We ask, Lord, for the truth that makes us free. Lord, we confess that you're the teacher, and I ask you to download me to be a conduit for whatever you want. Lord, I just speak blessings over these ladies, understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, excellence, the fear of the Lord, a spirit of repentance. We take dominion over this meeting, and we declare that Satan, you cannot keep any person away that God wants here in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. We take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the keys that we've been given that gives us authority to bind and loose. We take the Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia power that you've given us, Lord. And we take our seat in the heavenly places, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or this meeting. We take dominion over this meeting, and we ask you, Lord, to release your power into the lives of every person that's supposed to be here. And we declare, Satan, you will not keep anyone from hearing this message unless it would bring God greater glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we bind and break every word curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignments, attachments, voodoo, magic, black magic, sorcery, witchcraft, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, and rituals that's been spoken over us, over this meeting, in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Because of the title of this message, I knew the enemy did not want anybody here. It's on worshiping the beast and how we as Christians who want to follow God, who don't want to worship the beast, how we consciously or unconsciously worship the beast. You know, although I believe the beast will be, I don't know if he's going to be sitting in a physical temple in Jerusalem or he's going to be sitting in our temples because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is not Lord of our life, then we've made the beast Lord over our temple. Is that correct? And so we have to be 100% yielded to the Lord. And there's many things that we don't even see that God wants to reveal to us. God says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So I don't know if the beast is going to sit in a physical temple or if he's going to sit in the temples of people who won't walk uprightly before the Lord. This is not a message about end times. And there's been many theories about who the beast is and who the Antichrist and if it's a thing or a person or a demon. And I don't really know about any of that, but I do know that it all goes back to the one source, to Satan. He's behind it all. I have a kennel, and that's kind of a tent-making job I have. And so I always take puppies to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, which is 2.5 hours from Dallas, and I always leave about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's a time when I love to pray at night, but you know, when you live by yourself, you have a tendency to kind of get up when you want to, go to bed when you want to. Sometimes I don't go to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning. So, and I'm really not ready to go to bed then. Unless I eat dinner and eat a big dinner, and then I'm ready to go to bed at 9 o'clock. But anyway, so I miss my early morning prayer times because I don't have to get up. I like to pray when it's still dark. So I look forward to these times of taking the puppies to the airport because I get to pray in the wee hours of the morning. And I was praying in tongues, and I was praying for some skin cancers that were on my nose. Because I prayed all the human English prayers that I know to pray. So I just pray in tongues all the way to Dallas. And it's amazing when I may have 3 or 4 puppies to ship different parts of the United States that I pray in tongues for those puppies too. And you know that they hardly even make a sound? And they're so calm when I get them to the airport. But I was praying in tongues for skin cancer and for my eyes. And I said, and I heard the word malignant sore. And then I thought of the scripture in Revelation chapter 16 that says God will pour out a malignant sore on all those who worship the beast. And so when I got back home, I looked up the word malignant sore, and it appears twice in the New American Standard, malignant sore. One is in Leviticus 14:44. It's talking about a malignant a leprosy. And malignant here means painful, and malignant leprosy, a mark. You know, cancer is a form of leprosy. And I found that out as I, you know, as I've researched the word and looked up the definitions and what this sore does. But it's a mark, a stroke, a plague, a spot in the skin, a scab, eruption. And this is talking about in a house, but it's also talking about an unclean spirit. So it's coming out of being an unclean thing. In Leviticus 14:44 in the King James Version, and Lord, I ask you to let my words be like goads, like well-driven nails, given to target every heart, given by you, the shepherd, Lord. Lord, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Lord, if you don't anoint this, it'll be just a bunch of words and it'll be nothing and meaningless. I ask you, Lord, to zero in by the power of your Holy Spirit. I release your power into every life to let us know the truth that makes us free. And basically, most of my messages lately have really come out of what God is trying to deal with me in my heart. I've been seeking the Lord for about 3 years or more than that, but really seeking Him diligently the last few years of skin cancer in my eyes, because I know that medicine, you know, I've had these skin cancers taken off once already. They came back. The man that took one of them off took a place out of my nose the size of a pinto bean. Put 8 stitches in my nose. Didn't even get the cancer. Have you ever been around somebody that you can just feel their demons stand up? It was an attack of the enemy. I mean, I had a place that was about the size of the top of a straight pin. And the doctor that diagnosed the skin cancer said, oh, it won't even leave a scar. It's just so little. Well, he took this big hole. I could not believe there was a gaping hole in my nose. And then I had a different one taken off a couple years before that, and it came back. It was like the size of a BB. Anyway, so I've been diligently seeking the Lord, and so most of my messages have really come out of what God is trying to deal with my sin in my life. But I know that it applies to you too. And you know, even though I've gone through these struggles, I wouldn't take nothing for it, because it's caused me to press into God to look for spiritual answers to things, because then I have something to share with you to help the body of Christ, because God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And we are ignorant of so many things, and we can think we're so smart, and the more smart we think we are, the dumber we really are. The Bible says that we're fools when we do that. And the second place that this malignant sore appears is in Revelation 16:2. And it says, and the first angels went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore, which means causing pain and trouble, grievous, toilsome, bad. That's what malignant means. And sore in the Hebrew means a wound, especially a suppurated wound, which means to form or discharge pus, festering ooze to putrefy. And recently, within the last 6 months, maybe one or two times, I've had a little pus come out of this, or I wouldn't even have, it wouldn't even have registered that that fit. And so, praise God, He's healing me. Hallelujah. Anyway, you know, after you repent of things and God shows you what He's trying to teach you, you can stand on, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You can stand on that all day long, but if you don't find the spiritual root to why you're sick, you won't get healed because God's trying to teach you a lesson. I mean, why should He heal you when you're wanting to get healed for selfish reasons? Do you know what I'm saying? And then when the pressure backs off, like the brother was sharing last night, how somebody went right back into their sin. Nathan was sharing about a man who was healed, and then he went back about 6 months later and he asked the pastor about this man, and they said the man got healed, and after he got healed, he went right back to his sin, and now seven more worse came back. And so God is using that to discipline His children, and I thank God for His discipline. And so if you've got a physical problem, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to look up the symptoms in the Word of God and start looking up the scriptures that have to do with your symptoms and repent over them. Repent for the generational iniquities of the forefathers, break generational curses, break soul ties, because the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus Christ died on the cross, number one, that you might die to sin, number two, live to righteousness, and number three, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. And so, with my own life, I thank God for what I've gone through to get disciplined for God to show me these things because I want to get my heart purified with the Lord. And you can think your heart's purified, and let me tell you, there's more. Amen? We never come to the place, somebody said, well, is this ever over? Yeah, when you enter eternity, you're perfect. The sanctification process takes a lifetime. And God has an answer to every problem you have. You're not going to find it out in the world. In fact, did you know that the number three cause of death in the United States is medical mistakes and prescription drugs? Heart problems was number one killer of people in the United States, and now it's cancer. And you see, if this malignant sore gets poured out, there's a reason why God pours it out on those who worship the beast. You say, well, you know, I've never worshiped the beast. But can I tell you, the Lord all has already showed me, too, if you had a forefather that worshiped the beast, that mark of the beast is on your forehead because of generational sin. And so it needs to be, 666 needs to be taken off our forehead. Amen? Okay, and so it says to pour out a malignant sore, which is a wound, especially a suppurated wound, to form or discharge pus, to fester, ooze, or putrefy upon the men who had the mark of the beast, and of course the physical mark that they want to mark us with, and that hasn't happened, but one world government's being set up right now. It's a mark on the right hand or forehead, which is the badge of those who worship the Antichrist. Well, if my forefathers were Freemasons, I was born with that mark. Did you know that in Freemasons is one way, Eastern Star, Freemasons, De Molay, Woodmen of the World, Oddfell, all of these Masonic groups that are branches off of other little that have started, maybe the Masons started the Woodmen of the World and the Odd Fellas and all these groups, the Ku Klux Klan. Did you know that in their rituals, every ritual is building a temple for the beast? Did you know that? Every level. They teach that the great architect of the universe is God, but it's really Satan. They drink out of human skulls. Every level is to build the temple. And when they're at the 30th degree, they have reached sinless perfection, which is a worse religion. They've reached sinless perfection, and their temple is prepared for the beast to sit in. And when they're in the 31st or 32nd degree or maybe the 30th degree, they can say, yes, Lucifer is God. It's under the Illuminati. And so the purpose of the architect thing, you know, you see the compass and the protractor, the symbol of the Masons, is that the great architect of the universe is building a temple for the beast, the devil, to sit in. And so just some of the side effects is eye problems, getting your eyes pulled out, getting your heart cut out, your brain sawed in two, your legs cut off, poverty. I lost two friends in the last couple of years that had to have had brain surgery. And you know, now I'm thinking back, it's possible they had Masons in the roots, breathing problems. A man that installed something for me a few years ago, I called the other day and they said he was in the last stages of COPD and now he's into congestive heart failure. I said, I had just repented over a whole bunch of Mason stuff. I had done that before many times, but a lady in another state told me that possibly eye problems and skin cancer was rooted in having Masonic forefathers. Well, I don't know of any forefathers that I had that were Masons. And I had repented and just, you know, renounced it thinking that was enough. And I went through this book of 50, a book about this thick, repenting over every page. And I was appalled to see how blasphemous it is. I mean, I knew it was bad. It is so wicked and so evil, and it makes such a mockery of the Lord. And they make vows that if they ever defect, that their heart will be cut out, their eyes will be pulled out, their legs will be cut off, their tongue would be put out, their throat would be cut. There'd be financial problems if they ever defected or left the group. Well, if you're not a Mason and you had forefathers that were Masons, somebody left the group somewhere and that curse goes upon us. And if you have breathing problems, what I was telling you about the man that had COPD, I asked his wife, I said, do y'all have Masons in your family? She said, he is high up as you can go in the Masons. I said, that's what's wrong with his lungs. That's what's wrong with his heart. This morning we were praying for a dear brother, and he's had a heart surgery. And I found out today, he got saved here last August. I found out today that he was a 32nd degree Mason. I said, that's why you've got physical problems. See, God wants us to confess our sins and clean our lives up. And I appreciate so much what Bill preached. I mean, I love that man. I love what he preaches. He's so encouraged me. But you know what? You're not going to get resurrection power in your life until you choose to die to your life. The Bible says in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And I'm sure Bill would tell you that. In fact, he alluded to the grain of wheat this morning. I thank God for that man. I tell you, he is such a blessing and such a powerful man of God. And so I just wanted to add that to his wonderful message that he kind of alluded to, but I just wanted to clarify that. Because we have to die to live. We have to give up our life that we might find it. The word sore in the dictionary... Well, let me back up a little. Revelation 16:2 says, and this is in the King James, and they went first and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. It says grievous sore in the King James. Upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshiped the beast. And the word sore in the dictionary means painful to the touch, tender, feeling physical pain, hurting, sore all over, caused by misery, sorrow, or disease, to be grievous, causing embarrassment or irritation, full of distress, sorrowful, has to do with anger, an open skin lesion, wound, or ulcer, a source of pain, distress, or irritation, painful as a result of bruising or burning. And the dictionary word for malignant means showing great malevolence and malicious behavior. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to keep the letter of the law. In the New Testament, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. And he was saying that you still have to keep the law, but you keep it another way. And we keep it, the New Testament, New Covenant, through loving the Lord with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And so when we have malviolence or malicious behavior, we have broken covenant with the Lord. And malignant also means disposed to do evil, highly injurious, pernicious, which means tending to cause death or serious injury, deadly, a pernicious virus causing great harm, destructive, pernicious rumors, evil, wicked, threatening to life, violent, which means extremely infectious, malignant, or poisonous, used of a disease or toxin, capable of causing disease by breaking down protective mechanisms of the host. It means a malignant disease tending to metastasize, to be transmitted or transferred, cancerous, used of a tumor, malignant. It's characterized by abnormal growth, means fatal, annihilating, baneful, deadly, devastating, lethal, murderous. I went to a Bill Gothard health conference a couple of weeks ago, and a medical doctor taught it. He was the first doctor that I ever heard teach on disease that didn't teach you doctor stuff, and I loved him. I could have listened to him all day because he tied everything in with Scripture. He's basically saying two reasons people get sick. It's toxins in their body because they don't eat healthy. And then he said toxic emotions like bitterness and anger and resentment and fear and hatefulness and malviolent behavior. And he treats people with nutrition, and if they don't get well through nutrition, then he starts going into their past. Is there anybody you've got holding ill feelings or ill will toward? And I went up to him and asked him about skin cancer. And I told him that I was repenting of everything I could think of day and night. Because the devil wants to say, you know, cancer's going to eat your nose off. That's what the enemy's going to say. That's what he says, to put fear into you, to run you back, to let him mutilate you again. And so I asked him about it, and he said, what you're doing is right. You're eating right. You're repenting. He said, get some sunspot ES. And I really have hopes that that's taken them off. Anyway, so if you've got a little spot that looks precancerous, get some of that stuff because it'll just peel it right off. And it's a natural vegetable thing, you know, even age spots and sunspots. Anyway, I don't give that credit for anything. If it falls off, it'll be because God took it off. Basically, he said, you can eat healthy and eat all the right things and eat perfectly healthy and have toxic emotions and you'll get sick. And so the key is walking uprightly before the Lord so you can claim all of his promises. As I began to pray to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, how does a person, when I heard the word malignant sore, I said, Lord, how does a person who wants to follow you with their whole heart, does not want to worship the beast, how do we as believers worship the beast? And the Lord said, any sin that you're into or anything you practice as a sin opens you up to worshiping the beast. Sin, when I choose to disobey God, I'm choosing to obey the beast. Is that right? I'm either obeying God or I'm obeying Satan, right? And so every time I choose to disobey, I'm worshiping the beast. But if you're like me, there's many things you're not even aware of, and I think the Lord zeroed in me what it was of the root to the skin cancer. Your nose has to do with judging, and if you're walking by what your eyes see and you don't have God's eyes toward people, or if you see things and you judge it, you know, a critical spirit is a misguided gift of discernment. Is that correct? So when you see something, you can either criticize or you can use that as a righteous judgment and pray for that person. If you see something and you just stuff it, or you see it and you stuff it, or you speak out what you see, you've used it for evil. But if what you see, you'll begin to pray for people, then that'll deliver you from judging, because that's using it righteously, because God wants you to see things. It's what you do with what you see that becomes a sin. So now, praise the Lord, when I see something and I'm tempted to, if I see something, I immediately start praying in tongues for that person. Now, the devil doesn't like that. He doesn't like you praying for people. And you don't know how to pray, so if you pray in tongues, then you pray the perfect prayer. Amen? And God has used that to deliver me from judging. And I believe, I don't speak that many prophecies. I have a desire to. You know, Cheryl is so prophetic. I mean, she can just prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. And I just want to prophesy so bad. But, and I'm sure that my messages are prophetic. I know my motivational gift is prophetic. In other words, a person that's prophetically motivated, you just want people to repent. You know? You want them to get their heart right. And so when you see things, you have, you know, you can take the discernment you have and you can use it for evil, or you can use it for good and for God's glory to pray for that people. So you walk around praying all day. Amen? Maybe that's what it means, pray without ceasing. And I believe now that I've seen what was the cause of it, and even the cause of eye problems, is not having Jesus' eyes. I want to see things God's way. And, you know, when you have a distorted vision, you're seeing things crooked. So, Lord, straighten out everything in us that's crooked. And so, Romans 1, if you'll turn there, please. Romans 1. This is kind of a heavy message for 1 o'clock. I started to try to just teach something light, and I thought, no, you know, I'm going to teach what the Lord gave me to teach, and whoever comes or don't come, that's God's problem. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. And if you're like me, we don't want to worship the beast in any way. Okay, Romans 1 says in verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. So it's talking about believers, is that right? It says, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and began to worship the creature rather than the creator. And so that's what we do when we worship the beast. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. Because that's why the Bible says that you will abide in my word and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free if you receive it. It says, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. And then go down in verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Now the King James says malignity. Malice, and I gave you the definition of that. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. If you were here last time, a message that I taught was another message that God had given me for my eyes. I saw that pride was the root to eye problems. You know, running eye, and of course they'll tell you dry eyes where tears just come out of your eyes. They say, well, you know, the eyeglass person said, well, you know, that's what happens in nursing homes. Oh, people just call dry eye, where tears just run out of your eyes. The Bible says it's haughty eyes. When you look up that word in the Hebrew, you'll see it has to do with water and tears running out of your eyes. Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth. The Bible said that his strength was not abated, nor was his eye dim. And so he was meek, which is the opposite of pride. And so if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the message from Lake Hamilton. It's called The Consequences of a Prideful, haughty and arrogant heart, which is what God showed me I had. I wasn't trying to be that way, but the truth makes you free. And so now I'm working on humble. And you know what? Pride is like an iceberg. If you think you don't have it, you can saw it off at the water's edge and some more floats up. That's right, because it's a picture of the devil. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for us to reclaim what the devil had stolen and to take the devil out of us. And he don't take him out in one big lump. He takes him out piece by piece as he sanctifies us. And so that word malice and malicious, malignity in the dictionary means, if the law is fulfilled in love and we have malice or malviolent behavior, this is what we have. And so I encourage you to be repenting over these as I give the definition of malignity. You know what? This may save us from having a worse kind of cancer. And if you've got cancer, don't feel condemned, because let me tell you, death is working in all of us until we get our temples cleaned up. All of us. Of something. If you live long enough, and I'm not putting a curse on you, you know, it's like my friend Milton Green used to say that the demons are like a moth. They eat away. And you know, when you're younger, sometimes it doesn't manifest. But when you get older, things manifest that were there working all along. But then it's like they eat through the surface for you to see. Did you have something? Oh, you're scratching your head. Okay. It means intense ill will, hatred, great malice, an act or a feeling of great malice, the condition or quality of being highly dangerous or injurious. Deadliness, harshness, or bitter in words. Have you been harsh and bitter with your words? Oh, my goodness, I have. Harsh and bitter in your disposition or in your manner. It means to acrimony, which means bitter, sharp, ill-natured, animosity, especially as it is exhibited in speech or behavior. We can get that way toward family members. You know, you can get that way towards your mate really easy. And you know, what you need to realize is the issues that your mate is pushing or kicking up are issues that went unresolved in your childhood. God is letting some beloved family member grind. And he allows those things to show you what he wants you to repent of next. You know, you think it's the turkey you live with. Or you think it's your daughter-in-law, or your son-in-law, or your grandmother, or whatever. But God is, you're the one that's in need of prayer, and so am I. So am I. You know, as I deal with these things that come up in my life, I can tell you that God takes away the bitterness. And when I get the mote out of my eye, their speck doesn't even bother me anymore. You know what I'm saying? You know you have a log in your eye when their speck is getting on your nerves. Right? And listen, that applies to all of us. Every last one of us. Some family members, you know, God will say, you did the very same thing they're doing. You know, you reap what you sow. And you'll always reap through someone you love the most. It means bitterness, rancor, which means bitter, long-lasting resentment, deep-seated ill will, acerbity, which means a sourness of taste or tone, acridness, which means unpleasantly sharp, pungent, or bitter to the taste or smell. Caustic in language or tone. And it means spleen. Now, the spleen is the organ conceived as the seat of the emotions or passions. It has to do with ill temper. And there's been an expression, vent one spleen. And that's a large, highly vascular lymphoid organ lying in the human body to the left of the stomach below the diaphragm, serving to store blood, disintegrate old blood cells, filter foreign substances from the blood, and produce lymphocytes, a homologous organ or tissue in other vertebrates. It means animus, an attitude that informs one's actions, disposition, a feeling of animosity, ill will. It means asperity, which is roughness or harshness as of surface, sound, or climate. It means rigor, harshness of manner, ill temper, irritability, malice, animosity, antagonism, spite. You know, the Lord used all this to show me that I unconsciously had an issue with a family member, and the Lord showed me that it was rooted back into the same thing that she was doing was exactly what my mother did. And that's why she bothered me so bad. You see, she was pushing my mother buttons. And when I dealt with that, plus the message on fretfulness, plus this, and somehow in all of that, I was healed of 70-year digestion problem. My mother said when I was a baby, she breastfed me till I was two. She said I'd throw up my milk from the time I was a baby. I would throw it up. So I was born with digestion problems. As I think back, my granny was a fretter. And she had skin cancer on her nose. You know, you can break generational curses, but if I'm doing the same thing my granny did, I can't break the curse because I put myself under it through my own sin. Does that make sense? Okay, it means hard feelings, ill will. And you know, I've purposed, you know, when you just think about that person that kicks up your adrenaline, and you say, I forgive that person. So when I think about that, I've determined never again will I judge that person. I will pray for her. I pray in tongues every time. And you know what else I do? I bless her every day. You know, a curse, if you curse somebody and say, well, so-and-so is stupid, the demons have the legal right to carry out, to work against that person, to carry make that person stupid. Are y'all hearing me? But if I bless that person, the grace of God is carried to that person to carry out what I bless. And I have a problem with negative people. You know, if a person's real negative. And so instead of letting her negativity bother me, I start blessing her with a joyful heart, with beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. Because, see, she was wounded as a child. And guess what? Now I see her singing in church, which I never saw before. So we need to bless those that we have a hard time with. Say everything, bless them with everything you think they need to be doing. Amen? And God will work a miracle. Hallelujah. Malice means the desire to harm others or to see others suffer. Extreme ill will, spite. The intent without just cause or reason to commit a wrongful act that will result in the harm of another. Harshness or bitter words, disposition, manner, acrimony, bitterness. And if the law is fulfilled in love, in Matthew 5 says when you're angry with your brother, that you'll go into a spiritual prison and you'll stay there till you forgive. Till you make friends quickly with your opponent at law, it says. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 18 says, when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you are turned over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease, and it means inquisitor. An inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out on a rack and he tortures him till he gets what he wants. And torturers also mean the pain of disease. So I believe that 99%, or if not 100%, if I leave a 1%, there could be a sickness unto death that there's no sin involved. You know, the man who was blind, Jesus said, they said, Lord, why is he blind? Because of his sin or his father's sin? And Jesus said, no, not because of anybody's sin. And he turned right then and worked a miracle and healed the man. He's sick for the glory of God. There's a sickness unto death, but 98% of why we're sick is rooted in sin and unforgiveness. If somebody hurts you and you let the sun go down on your anger, you've got till sundown to deal with it. It says in Ephesians, do not let the sun go down on your anger because you give a mighty foothold to the devil, to the beast. And then if you let the sun go down on your anger, in other words, God wants you to deal with your anger before you even go to sleep. If you don't, the next day it's unforgiveness and the next day it's bitterness. And bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It's worshiping the beast. Okay, how do we worship the beast? This is just some ways. I want to say the first one is fearing man more than you fear God. Is through fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Fear of authority, worshiping man more than you worship God. And how you do that is you won't, either through fear or whatever, you do what the demons in that man or woman tells you to do rather than do what God says to do. Are y'all hearing me? Some people want a relationship so much with a human being that they sacrifice a relationship with the Lord to worship the beast in that man or worship man more than they worship God. And because of that, a lot of women get into sexual sin. They just have to have a man or they have to have a woman. A lot of women, men do the same thing. They think that sex is love or relationships love. And I can tell you, Jesus is your bridegroom, and you'll never find a man that will, or a woman that will ever meet any need that only God can meet. Amen? I've been a widow since 1999, and I can tell you, it's been the happiest 10 years of my life. And I'm not out looking for a husband. I believe in marriage. I thank God my granddaughter's fixing to get married, and she's marrying somebody that... He's got a wonderful mother and father that love him. He's secure. His mom and dad are his best friends. My son-in-law, my daughter-in-law and son are my granddaughter's best friend. And they're going to have problems, but they're going to have a good marriage because they didn't come out of dysfunction. You and I came out of some dysfunctional things, and the more dysfunction, the more things we got to deal with. So, praise the Lord. It's good to see two people that have kept themselves pure, that are going to have a godly marriage and have a godly relationship. Thank the Lord for that. And so when we fear man, and we're really worshiping man more than we're worshiping God, when we do what man or woman tells us to do and not what God tells us. Now, I'm not telling you not to submit to authority, but you submit to authority as unto the Lord. When we obey the demons in another person, we're worshiping the beast. And that's one of the roots for malignancy. And I shared how to get over judging. Another way we worship the beast, how God showed me, is through judging. Through seeing things and just maybe stuffing it or not praying about it. Matthew 7 says, don't judge lest you be judged. 7:2 says, from the way you judge others, you will be judged by your standard of measure. It'll be measured back to you. Luke 6:37 says, and do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Hallelujah. Give mercy, and you get it. The next way we worship the beast, another way, is through Masonic lodges and through lodges, sororities, lodges. Eastern Star, De Molay, Rainbow Girls, all of those Masonic groups, they've made vows. The precious little man last night, he didn't remember some of those things he did because the whole thing is deception. All of those things are tied in. And I encourage you, there's a book you can order from Australia that I just went through that's probably the most thorough book on Masons that I've seen. But it's $50. But you can go online and look up breaking Masonic curses, and you can get a lot of information and a lot of different levels and start breaking them. And if it's Odd Fellows, go through the same, breaking the rituals, breaking the words they speak, the words that are spoken over them, break soul ties, break generational curses. Because some of your physical problems right now, have you been looking for answers, could be rooted in Masonic or satanic or occult things in your generations. And then sexual perversion. You get the demons of whoever you have sex with if it's outside of marriage. And if it's inside of marriage, you get the demons. If you're compromising the word of God, you'll get the demons of whoever, of your mate, if you're compromising. And you know if you're compromising the word of God. For example, I know years ago a woman came to me, and another minister had told her that she had to go to look at pornography with her husband. I said, that's not true. I said, that is heresy. And he wrote me and said I was counseling rebellion against the Lord. And so you do submit to authority, but you don't submit to demons. And so you're to submit as unto the Lord. If Jesus wouldn't tell you to do it, you don't have to do it. Hallelujah. That encourages me. And then the toxic emotions, anger, bitterness, fear. We just named all the words of malignity and malignant. And envy, grudges, revenge, lust, stubbornness, rebellion, refusing to deal with your issues, idolatry, and fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. And then the consequences of worshiping the beast. I'm just going to give you, because of the hour of the day, I'm just going to give you the scriptures and you can look them up. Malignant sores and sores. In Leviticus 22:22, God wouldn't take an offering if it had a sore, a running or separated or oozy sore, eczema or scabs. You couldn't offer to the Lord. And of course, you know, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. And God says, present your body to me as a living sacrifice. And praise God for the blood that's spilled out. It's not our blood. It's His perfect blood. And He looks and sees the blood of Jesus. And it's a curse. Sores are cursed. Deuteronomy 28:35 says the Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils, which is also an inflamed ulcer, black leprosy, endemic in Egypt, called by physicians elephantitis, from the skin being covered with black scales and the feet swelling up. That could be one of the roots to feet swelling. Swelling pride is another one. Being proudful and puffed up can cause your body to swell. Eating people up in the spirit. You know, it says in Galatians, brethren, see to it you do not bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed one by one another. If you're eating everybody up in the spirit, you know what? That could be one of the roots to weight problems. When the Lord showed me that, I started spitting people out. I'm serious. I'm not joking. And you know, I weigh the same as I weighed then, but I went down 2 or 3 dress sizes. It says in Galatians, brethren, see to it you don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed by one another. I can eat you up in the spirit realm by biting and devouring. Now, I wasn't trying to do that, but I had a ministry farm, and I had crackheads, prostitutes, people climbing out the windows. I had an orchard that I had replaced 90 fruit trees 3 times. Built a drip system, they'd mow it in two. Or somebody would give you a vacuum cleaner, and they'd vacuum up the dirt. And you just wanted to say, stop it! You didn't, but you wanted to. And see, I'd go, I can't believe so-and-so did that. I don't do that anymore. God has brought me to repentance. Galatians 5:15-16, something like that. But that's how the body of Christ can eat each other up. It's a curse. God allows Satan to attack. Job, in Job 2:7, it says, then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, which was an inflamed ulcer, black leprosy, endemic in Egypt, elephantitis, skin being covered with black scales and the feet swelling up. If you study the life of Job, you see he was self-righteous. You know, when you judge somebody else, you're being self-righteous. That's tremendous pride. When you judge somebody else, you're really thinking in your heart that you're better. And you're usurping. For example, say I judge somebody because they're slow. Then I'm really unconsciously comparing myself because I'm fast. I'm really comparing myself to that person, and I'm basically saying, God, I'm fast because I'm so good, instead of I'm fast because you've given me the ability to move fast. You see what I'm saying? How you're taking away God's glory. God showed me I've done that through judging others. And so Job was self-righteous, he had fear, and he had pride. And so the results is that, because if you read Job 42, you see Job repented of his pride in Job 42. And now if we're worshiping the beast, it says in Jeremiah 30, there's no healing for our sore. And then he pours out plagues, which plagues and sores and malignant sores and plagues are basically the same thing, leprosy. Refusing to repent, he pours out plagues, Revelation 16:18. And 9 says, and men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these, a public calamity, a heavy affliction, now tormenting, now destroying the bodies of men and sent by God as punishment. Revelation 16:11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, a pain, a wound, especially a running sore. And then we worship the beast through adultery. Pharaoh, because of Sarah, Abraham's wife, he wanted to commit adultery with Sarah, and so God poured out a stroke, a blow, a mark, a spot on the skin, a scab, or leprosy because of Sarah. And you know, when it says a stroke, I thought is a heart attack stroke, a stroke or a blow also. And then rebellion, Exodus 9:14, when God poured out the pestilence on Pharaoh. And then it's the sign of the end times. Luke 21:11, and there will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues, pestilence and famines, and there'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. So in the days we live, we're going to see more cancer and more malignant sore being poured out on people. More heart failure, because the Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And then another reason is those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So remind me when we pray to ask God to seal our forehead, okay? And take off the mark of the beast. Revelation 9:18, it says a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues of a public calamity, a heavy affliction, now tormenting and destroying the bodies of men sent by God. And refusing to turn from idolatry, Revelation 9:20, it says, and the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as to worship demons. And then not coming off victorious from the beast. You know, we all have things that we have to overcome. Going to the world for answers is not overcoming anything. You're putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. And you know, even when I started putting this, well, I didn't want to pray this prayer, but I did. When I started putting the sunspot that the doctor told me to put on, and pieces of that, those cancers are coming off. But I believe it's because I spent all that time repenting or it wouldn't have worked. But I'm saying, God, if there's still something in me that I need to repent of, don't let this stuff work. Because I don't want to put a Band-Aid on any kind of a spiritual problem. I want to be changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? And so I didn't want to pray that because I want that to work. But I also want God more than I want my nose. Oh, God. The scary prayer. You know, there's some things worse than death for me. I'm not afraid to die. So, Lord, forgive me for the vanity, pride, and vanity, and the God of outward appearance. Forgive us, Lord. And then another one is not coming off victorious from the beast. Revelation 15:1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because of them the wrath of God is finished. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, and then it goes on to say, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from its power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels. But it has to do with those who did not come off victorious from the beast. Daniel says that the beast is going to try to overcome the saints. I'm thankful for what Howard Pittman says, that they'll only overcome the saints if the saints let the beast overcome. In other words, we've got to do warfare and we've got to stand. And you can bind the devil all day long. If there's sin in your life, he ain't going to leave. Not dealing with sin under the blood of Jesus, Numbers 8:19. Ingratitude and discontentment, murmuring and complaining, God sent severe plagues. And giving a bad report of unbelief in Numbers 14. The children of Israel, those men who brought out the very bad report of the land, died by the plague. And then listening to the wrong counsel, Numbers 31:16, and that would fall in line with obeying demons in another person, when God says, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. The scripture says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a man who gives way before the wicked. Numbers 31:16. And in Proverbs it says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a man who gives way before the wicked. In other words, if you let fear back you off of doing what God wants you to do and you obey demons in someone else, you're like a polluted, you're like a trampled spring and a polluted well. That's in Proverbs, and I don't know where that is in Proverbs, but I can look it up for you later. And then a curse, Deuteronomy 28:16, every sickness and every plague, which is a burning fever, a plague by which the body is inflamed, consumed with pestilence, which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring on you to your destroy. And that's in Deuteronomy 28, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. And then idolatry, Deuteronomy 32:24. It says, they shall be wasted by famine and consumed by plague if we walk a crooked, perverse way and deviate from the word of God. And then because of wickedness, Job 27:13, because of being stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, Psalm 78:50, and then worshiping Baal, and that's one of the gods that's worshipped in Masons, is Baal, Hermes, Baphomet, Isis, what are some others? Anubis, and then not walking in God's statutes, Ezekiel 5:7, committing abominations committing abominations, Ezekiel 6:11, and then warring against God's saints. You don't war against God's saints. Zechariah 14:12 says, now this will be a plague sent by God, used of pestilence and fatal disease, with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who've gone to war against Jerusalem and your Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. And that could be a few physical problems, would you say? Tongue problems, eye problems, leprosy, a chronic, mildly contagious granulomatose, a massive inflamed, granulated tissue usually associated with ulcerated infection. And then not diligently observing God's law, Deuteronomy 24:8. And then speaking, and this one got me, speaking against God's delegated authorities. What happened to Miriam? She was struck with leprosy, right? God doesn't want us to curse our president, our Congress, and I have done that. Congress, Senate, politicians, crooked politicians. And so now I'm just blessing them and I'm praying for them. And I'm with all my heart trying not to speak against authority. Because all authority is ordained of God. And when you do that, you're really speaking against God. And then pride, anger, rage, worshiping and offering sacrifices to other gods. Remember in 2 Kings when Naaman had leprosy, and Elisha told him to. He sent his servant and told him to go dip in the Jordan, and he was enraged. He was so angry, and you see the pride of not wanting to humble himself in the nasty Jordan. And he worshipped his gods in the house of Rimmon, and he repented of worshiping false gods, and he got leprosy because of the. There was anger and rage in his life, and he worshipped and offered sacrifices to other gods in the house of Rimmon. And then greed and manipulating for money. Remember when Gehazi ran after him, and Elisha said he didn't want anything from Naaman. And Gehazi went and lied and manipulated, and because of that, Elisha said, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. You know what? If we had a forefather that was struck with leprosy for the same thing, that curse comes down. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. If somebody doesn't break it, it just loops another day. And then pride acting corruptly and unfaithfulness to the Lord. Uzziah. It says that when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. So he went in and the temple to burn incense, and they told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And it said, is it not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary? And, of course, he was struck with leprosy. The world has no answers, In Hosea 5:13, it says, when Ephraim, the church, saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, but he's unable to heal you. Have we gone to King Jareb? He can't heal us. The good news is it says when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and we make God our refuge, no evil shall befall us, for no plague come near our tent. Luke 5:12, and it came about that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left. Hallelujah. Okay, why don't you stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you what you need to repent of. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Search my heart, O God, and test my thoughts, and show me if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you, and I do not want to worship the beast in any shape, form, or fashion. I renounce him in Jesus' name. Now just let the Lord deal with whatever he wants to deal with in you, and then we'll do mass deliverance, and then we're going to ask God to take off any generational marks of the beast and put his mark on us. Just sit down when you're through. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for everything you've shown me. And Lord, I first want to deal with Masons. If I had any forefathers that were Masons, or I've been in the Masonic Lodge, in Job's Daughters, or Eastern Star, or Rainbow Girls, or any other Masonic thing, I ask you to forgive me. And I forgive my forefathers. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through any occultic organization, through Freemasonry, through satanic vows, oaths, and covenants, through making blood covenants, covenants of death, oaths of death. Lord, I ask you to break them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, occultic ritual, Masonic ritual that I spoke, that my forefathers spoke in any sorority or fraternity or any lodge or any group of people that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and the deity of Jesus Christ. And I nullify and make void and cancel every ritual, word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, and ritual that was spoken over me or my forefathers to put me under a curse. I break their vows that would affect my lungs, that would affect my eyes, my ears, my nose, my tongue, my throat, my heart, my breathing, my feet, or my finances. I cancel every word. I renounce those organizations. And Lord, I ask you to get the beast out of my temple that came in through any occultic Freemasonry group or satanic group in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for worshiping the beast in every area you've shown me where I practice sin in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for judging. Forgive me for fearing man more than I fear you. Forgive me for worshiping the beast in man and not worshiping you. Forgive me for not loving my neighbor, loving you with my whole heart and with my neighbor as myself. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, which would cause you to give me over to unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiting, hating you, being despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, and disobedience to parents. Lord, forgive me for breaking covenant with you, being without natural affection, being implacable and unmerciful. Forgive me that even though I knew the judgments of the Lord, I committed such things which made me worthy of death, and not only do the same thing, but take pleasure in them that do those things. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for harsh and bitter words, harsh and bitter disposition. Forgive me for being ill-natured, full of animosity. God, forgive me for wanting revenge. Forgive me for malice, wanting to hurt people, injure people. Forgive me for being acrid. God, forgive me for having melancholy emotions, negativity. In Jesus' name, forgive me for having a wrong disposition, ill will, being rough and harsh, having ill temper and irritability. And God, forgive me for wanting to inflict suffering on another person. Forgive me for malviolence. God, forgive me for speaking venomous words. And God, forgive me for wickedness, being self-righteous, full of pride, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for judging. God, forgive me for sexual perversion, toxic emotions, anger and bitterness and fear, hatred and unforgiveness, depression, jealousy, rivalry, envy, grudges, and lust. Lord, I forgive my mother and father and every person who's hurt me or injured me, tortured me, mentally abused me, physically abused me, sexually abused me, and ritualized me. Forgive me for being stubborn and lustful, rebellion, refusing to deal with my issues. Forgive me for idolatry and fear, which would cause you to pour out on me malignant sores and plagues. Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments, which would put me under the curses of Deuteronomy 28. Forgive me for adultery, rebellion. Lord, I want your seal on my forehead. And I forgive my forefathers for worshiping the beast, and you putting the mark of the beast on their forehead because of them worshiping the beast, and malignant sores to be poured out because of them worshiping the beast. Lord, I ask you to remove by the blood of Jesus the mark of the beast off of my forehead, and I want the mark of God. Take out the beast mind and put in the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, take off 666 off my forehead. In the name of Jesus. And I forgive my forefathers for worshiping the beast and having the mark. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through this generational mark of the beast and any marks that you put on me because of my sin. Lord, I repent. I give up control of my life. I yield my life 100% to your Lordship. And Lord, forgive me for not turning from idolatry. Forgive me for not overcoming. Forgive me for participating in this harlot church system that doesn't teach repentance. I forgot to read that when it says, come up out of her, my people, lest you receive of her plagues. And that's the churches that there's so many nowadays that don't teach repentance because the people that are controlled by the beast have paid them off. And they're rolling in big bucks, a lot of them. And a lot of them are Knights of Malta. You'd be shocked to know. Yes, unity is so demonic. Absolutely. If you're in unity, get out. Get out of it. But there's so many people today they're false prophets. They're prophets of Baal. And they're into Kabbalah. They're Knights of Malta. In fact, I'm gonna go ahead and say who one up. No, I'm not. No, I decided I wouldn't. But they're Knights of Malta, which is under the Illuminati. And let me just tell you, if they're a popular prophet, there's not one prophet in the Word of God that was ever popular. That ought to be a clue right there. And if the first word out of their mouth is not repent of your sins, can I tell you, discount everything they say? Because every prophet in the Word of God taught that men should repent. Amen? In fact, Jesus said in Jeremiah 23, I didn't send these prophets, but they ran. If these prophets would speak what my word said, my people would turn from their sin. But most of these I call them nutcase prophecies because they don't line up with the word. If you don't know the word of God, you're going to fall for every prophecy you hear. And can I tell you, they don't furnish the people the slightest benefit. The only thing that's going to benefit you in these days, the only thing that's going to protect us in the days we're living in is to be obedient to the Lord. My people perish, God says, for the lack of knowledge. And then there's a curse for adding to and taking away from the Word of God in Revelation 22. Forgive me for doing that, Lord. Forgive me for breaking covenant. Forgive me for not dealing with my sin. Forgive me for ingratitude and discontentment, murmuring and and complaining, listening to wrong counsel. I break the curse that every sickness that's written in the book in this book will be put on me. This of sickness. Forgive me for wickedness, Baal worship. I renounce Baal, Hermes, Isis, Anubis, reincarnation, worship of Egyptian gods, Baphomet, and any other satanic, demonic, demon god. I renounce them all. Lord, forgive me for not walking in your statutes and observing your ordinances. Forgive me for committing abominations against you. Forgive me for warring against your saints. God, forgive me for speaking against authority. Forgive me for pride and anger and rage and worshiping and offering sacrifices to other gods, to Rimmon. Forgive me for being like Gehazi, greed and manipulating for money. I ask you to remove the curse of Gehazi off of us. Start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the curse of Gehazi. Forgive me for pride and acting corruptly and unfaithfulness to you. Forgive me for running to the world for answers and putting band-aids on spiritual problems. Lord, I want you to lance those sores in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, of everything I've repented of, I forgive my forefathers for committing the same sins. And I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the things I've confessed, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. In Jesus' name, I ask you to break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus, of everything I've confessed. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I break soul ties with my forefathers and every person they were involved with that denied the deity of Jesus Christ and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I cut every soul tie. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command the beast to get out. I command tumors, malignancy, ear problems, eye problems, nose problems, cancer. I command you to go. Heart attacks, strokes, marks. I command the mark to go. The spirit of the beast, go. Antichrist, you have to go. All spirits of rebellion, you have to leave. All spirits of anger and fear and hatred and malice and greed. All spirits of Gehazi, leave us now. In Jesus' name, all spirits of Freemasonry and Satanism, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of witchcraft, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, leave now. Harshness, bitterness, resentment, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. Malignant sores, go in Jesus' name. Plagues and leprosy, leave. Breathing problems, go. Lung problems, go. Heart problems, go. Eye problems, ear problems, hearing problems. Lord, give them ears to hear. All spirits of tongue problems has to go. All spirits of spleen problems has to leave. Negative emotions, toxic emotions, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Rancor, leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Revenge, envy, jealousy, go in Jesus' name. Covetousness, I break your power. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You are awesome. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just blow out, cough out, blow it out. Praise you, Lord. And when you feel a release, lift your hands with me and sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of a lamb. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. I command all feet problems and leg problems, go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. All spirits that came in through bowing your knee to Baal, go in Jesus' name. Worshiping the beast, all knee problems from worshiping the beast, out in Jesus' name. You have to leave. Back problems, sciatic nerve problems, pain has to go. All pain has to leave now. Running sores, separated wounds, you have to leave now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for the peace that's in this room. Bless the Lord. Now go and be healed in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.